passage from the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, and it's page 397 in my Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 30, page 397 and verse 11. And it says, They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate. They gave him water to drink and gave him a piece of fig cake and two raisin cakes, and he ate. And his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. And this is a bit I want to come to. And David said to him, "To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou?" And he said, "I'm a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." And then a verse in the New Testament, in First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1375, and the last verse in that chapter. "And ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. Glorify now then God in your body." I wonder if I went round each of us tonight and asked this question that David asked this young man: who do you belong to? Very simple question, but I wonder what sort of replies I would get. Young ones might say, "Well, we belong to our parents," and that would be very true. Because when you're born in this country, there's a certain limited time, and your birth is registered, and on that certificate that your parents get, is their names, your name, the time and date of your birth, and probably your weight as well. So there's a certificate you have that says you belong to your parents, and we've all got these. And that certificate might be called on in various points in your life. You can produce it to show who you are, your identification. There's a more serious question to be asked. Who do you belong to? And what the gospel raises is, do you belong to the Lord Jesus? It's a very simple question. And it's a question that applies to each one of us, whatever our age, old and young. And the gospel opens a way, lays down a way, whereby each of us can belong to the Lord Jesus. You know, God made man. May claim that he's his own master. And to answer that question, "To whom belongest thou?" that's another answer you get. "I am my own master. I belong to myself." No man belongs to himself. The introduction of man into this world shows us that man was formed out of dust. Just think of that. The fragility of man's existence. And God took that dust and breathed into it, and man became a living soul. Whether you're the greatest person in this world or whether you're someone who's begging by the street, that is true, that God brought man into this world, breathed into the dust, and man became a living soul. So that shows you that you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. He's created you. But man, as created by God, fell into sin very quickly. Because Satan, the enemy that seeks your soul, Satan led man astray, and man became a sinner before God. And God's pleasure in his creature was spoiled. Was that the end of God's pleasure in man? No, it wasn't. God had a plan, and he put that plan into operation in order to win you and I, who had become sinners before God, to win us back to himself, so that in answer to the question, to whom belongest thou, each one of us, let's go along the rows tonight here, each one of us could say with certainty and assurity, I belong to the Lord Jesus. Now, as you sit there in your seat, are you aware of who you belong to? Some persons are very much into their genealogies, and they can tell you their forebears and their clans and everything else, you know. But this is a different story in the gospel. This is bringing you to the reality of what you are before God and your need for a savior, your need for someone to step in where you're displeasing to God and to remove the displeasure. And how is that going to be affected? Because you and I can't lift one little finger or thumb to ensure that these sins of ours are removed. So God has provided someone in a way that no one else could accomplish what God had in mind. God has provided someone to remove what had brought in distance between man and God. And who is that? Who is the person that he's provided? He's provided his own son, savior for the sinner. So to whom belongest thou? If you take nothing else away from this preaching tonight, take this question. And before you go to sleep tonight, ensure that you have come to a conclusion that the one whom God has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ, has ownership over you. Ownership that can't be doubted. As creator, yes, but ownership because he shed his precious blood in order to secure you for himself. I don't know that I can make the message of the gospel any simpler. This is David, the type of old, and he's asking the question of this young man, and the man's an Egyptian, it says. His master was Amalekite, and he came to a situation where he's of no use to his master. And David queries him, and from that moment onward, David becomes his master. David exercises his control over this young man. And that's what God wants to do in the Lord Jesus to every one of us tonight. That the Lord Jesus has come into this world in order to establish ownership over you and I, an ownership that he has a right to as your creator, but an ownership that he would establish as your redeemer. And he's paid redemption price to win you back to God. Oh, the price that the Lord Jesus paid at Calvary's cross. A price that no one else could pay. A price that couldn't be measured in any human monetary value. A price that involved as his precious blood was shed in order that tonight, by putting your faith in that shed blood, you'll be able to say, I'm not my own master. That family that I claim through genealogy I belong to, no. I belong to Jesus and him alone. That's what this man came to, that he was no use to his master, his previous master. He was no use to Satan. And that's what it comes to in this world. World, make full use of your talents, full use of your energies. But what is the end? The end is the end that comes upon us all. Can the enemy change the path towards death? No. Death faces us every day. Some here face it in reality even now. But the Lord Jesus has come into this world not only to remove the sin and the root sin before God and the sins that belong to you and I, but he came into this world to break the power of death and give you and I a Savior for now in the Lord Jesus and a hope in Christ for all eternity. That's the message of the gospel. Salvation in Jesus and a hope in Christ for eternity. Do you have it? Or is your life empty? You know, you can do many things in this world and within the ambits of the law, nobody will stop you. But without the Lord Jesus in your life is empty. I want to just emphasize to you that God has a right to that life of yours as your creator. But he's also a right to your life as having sent his own son to be the one who redeems you from your sins. He's done that for some in this room. Has he done it for you? To whom belongest thou? Simple question. You can eke it out in whatever form at all. But what does it mean essentially? It means essentially that you're able to say, by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus and in his finished work, that you belong to the Lord Jesus. You're under his ownership. That's a challenge. You know, even with the disciples when they were here and they were with the Lord Jesus for about 3.5 years, when it came to the close of the Lord's pathway, the Lord Jesus was taken a prisoner. And Peter was there. The maid said, "Ah," she says to Peter, "you were with him, weren't you?" "Oh, no," Peter says, "I don't belong to him. I don't know him." And somebody else asked the question, "You were there, weren't you?" "No," Peter says. "Peter, of all persons," says it 3 times. How often have you and I denied the Lord Jesus? How often have we said no? Well, we may not have said it verbally, but in our lives, what we do, what we say, has it been a denial of the Lord Jesus? Instead of coming out boldly and saying, "I belong to Christ, I'm his and his forever." That's what our hymn said, "I am his and he is mine." How simple the message is to just trust in the Lord Jesus, accept what he's done, and to seek to be here, true to him, faithful to him, under new ownership. Paul says in that second script, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. The price has been tremendous. I can't put a total value on that price, but I know that it cost the life of my Savior. It cost him going into death and dying and breaking death's power. That was the cost. He says, "You've been bought at a price." Then he says, "Glorify God in your body." So in that body of thine, that has the mark of redemption's price on it, the mark of Christ having secured it. Can I challenge myself and each one of us here as to where in that body Christ is glorified, God is glorified? You know, there are persons in this land who have laid down their lives for the name of Jesus. That's how they glorified him. Let me ask you, first of all, have you yielded to Christ? He's done everything for you. He's paid the price of redemption for you. What have you and I done for him? That is a real challenge. I just leave this word with you. To whom belongest thou? I was preaching a few weeks ago and I told a long story about a man in Sydney. I'm not going to tell the length of that story, but he was a sailor, a drunken sailor. And one day he was in a crisis. And his Christian friend, whom he'd often ridiculed, spoke to him and pulled him through the crisis in a way that he came to know the Lord Jesus. From that moment, he made a promise to the Lord Jesus. He said to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to confess your name 10 times a day for the rest of my life. And that's what he did. How did he confess his name? He was there in a street in Sydney, a busy street, and he stood about in the doorway. And when he saw someone coming down, he would step out and say, give him a gospel tract and say, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And he did that for 40 years. 40 years. And you know something? It wasn't until near the end of these 40 years that he discovered how effective his testimony was. Because one of the persons who he'd spoken to became a preacher and traveled about the world and found out from one source and another that they'd been converted through the work of the man on South Street in Sydney. You know, amongst other things, it challenges me as to how much I have glorified God in my body, how much I have answered him to the price that he's paid for my soul. And that dear man, just a few weeks before his death, was told about many persons who, through his simple testimony, came to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. No Christian magazine was written about him. No great sounding of a trumpet celebrated him. But what would the Lord Jesus have thought of this simple soul who kept true to his promise and for 40 years glorified God in his body by a simple testimony, one after another, day after day? If you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Well, what would happen to you? What would happen to me if I die tonight? Death is very close. David says, just a step between me and death. It can happen to young ones. It can happen to old ones. Death is no respecter of persons. Challenge tonight is, will you answer this question and say that you belong to Jesus? I trust you will, and may God bless the world for his name's sake. Amen.